Your dreams are bigger, bolder, and more badass than the life you're living now, but something just keeps getting in the way. Join certified coach and former therapist Diane Wingert for the Driven Woman podcast. She'll show you how to get rid of whatever is holding you back so you can stop spinning your wheels and up-level your life. Get ready to hop in and buckle up. This is the Driven Woman podcast, and we're heading for the fast lane.
Well, hey there, and welcome back, Driven Woman. Now, if you are accustomed to watching my reels that are taken from the podcast episodes, then you will notice that my background looks a little different. And the reason for that is I have moved. If you've been following along on social media, or if you subscribe to my email list, then you will know all the gory details. You can also listen to my last solo episode called Life Lessons for When Shit Happens to be fully up to date. But today's solo episode is about the rather complicated topic of procrastination. The reason I'm calling it, maybe it's not, quote, just procrastination, because procrastination is actually a complex topic. And it happens to be one that causes a tremendous amount of blaming and shaming and a great deal of suffering. Because if you're anything like me, you struggle with procrastination some of the time, much of the time, or perhaps even all of the time. And it's no joke. But sometimes it's not just procrastination. So that's what we are going to dive into and dig into and get all up into today, because I see this as being one of the things that so many of my clients, friends, family members, and myself deal with on a regular basis. So what do I mean by procrastination? Well, procrastination would appear to be a simple thing. Right? It would appear to be you have something to do, you have something you're supposed to do, something that is expected of you, maybe something you expect of yourself, maybe you even want to do it on some level, but you're not doing it. It could be as simple as making the bed to launching a new coaching program. That's a personal one, right? Maybe it could be getting your taxes done before the very last minute, or scheduling your flights for a family gathering so that you don't have to have two stops and a much higher price. It could be literally anything. The kinds of things that most people procrastinate about are the things that they don't really enjoy doing. They really don't want to do. They're not fun. They might see them as boring. They might even see them as kind of punishing. And I'm talking about the things that all of us deal with, like doing our taxes, whether that's our annual taxes or our quarterly taxes for those of us that are self-employed. Also things like scheduling and going to the dentist, getting those twice a year cleanings. It really could be anything, but all of us have things that we're expected to do, we need to do, and on some level we want to do because we know there are negative consequences for not doing, but we put them off. And the funny thing about what we might call simple procrastination is we have the skills. We know how to do the thing. It's in our wheelhouse. We've done it before. It's not hard for us. It might not even be time consuming. But we're not doing it. That's where things get interesting, because in so-called simple procrastination, it kind of doesn't make sense to other people why we don't just get it over with and get it done. Wouldn't it be better to just get it over with? But that sort of denies how complex this topic is, and also how complicated and individual it is for each of us. Some people only procrastinate on the really big stuff, like the taxes, scheduling their colonoscopy, getting prescriptions filled, important stuff like that. Those are the only things they procrastinate on. And then everything else they do, like it's no big deal. So to someone who doesn't have a procrastination problem, a procrastination habit, a procrastination tendency, they may think, why are you putting yourself through all that? But sometimes we don't do things that we know how to do, that we could do quickly, simply because they're boring, right? Hand raised, right? If it's boring, I don't want to do it. So I'll put it off. What I have learned from considerable experience delaying things that are boring, they are going to be boring later, just as they are boring now. It's almost like a lie that our brain tells us, I don't want to do it now because it's boring. Well, it's going to be boring when you do finally get around to it. So if it's going to be just as boring then as it is now, you might as well do it. But you probably need a little more incentive. It could be a reward that you give yourself, or a reward that automatically gets triggered for you once you get it done. And there are a variety of ways, high tech, low tech, no tech, that you could set yourself up for that. And that does work well. But it does start with honesty, right? Being honest with yourself. If it's a boring task to you now, it will most certainly be a boring task to you later. So this sort of game that we play with ourselves on the boring things is that it's too boring for me to do now, so I don't feel like it. And I don't feel like it because it's boring. Well, you're not going to feel like doing it later. What'll probably happen is it'll still be boring. You still won't feel like it, but you're going to do it later either because somebody's bugging you about it and you feel shame, or you have attached a negative consequence to continuing to delay it, or a positive consequence to getting it done. And by the way, when it comes to the boring stuff, you could actually make that consequence part of your practice. At any time, you can decide, hey, anything that falls on the it's too boring to do it category, make a list of those things. If you're not doing them, if you're procrastinating on them because they're boring, make a list of those things. Then make a list of what would be a suitable reward to get you to stop procrastinating, or a suitable consequence to continuing to procrastinate. You're going to have to refresh the screen on those incentives and consequences on a regular basis, because anything that we are procrastinating on, you're going to have to up the ante or at least swap a reward out for a different reward, because your incentive will get boring. Am I right? You've probably done this before, and it's probably worked for a little while. The reason why it doesn't work on an ongoing basis is because your incentive or consequence becomes boring after a while. So you have to keep refreshing the screen, so to speak. Lots of times, simple procrastination takes us off task because we're just simply distracted by something else. We're distracted by something else or someone else that seems more important or urgent at the time. That's why we're procrastinating. It's not intentional. It's just not happening because something else is taking our focus away. Something I see often, and I absolutely experience myself, is I will find myself unconsciously procrastinating on something because I'm afraid of making a mistake when I do it. Something that is challenging for me, although not impossible, but it's definitely not in my zone of genius. It is not in my zone of excellence. I can do it. I am competent at it, but I am not skilled at it. I will tend to procrastinate on those things because I believe I'm much more likely to make a mistake when I do them. So it's human nature to procrastinate on doing something if you associate that task with the potential for failure. So it's also very helpful to identify which of the tasks on your list are you procrastinating on because you're really not confident that you know how to do them well. This goes beyond being bored with the task. This is going to your competence, right? And to your feeling of skill and agency about doing things. Nobody wants to do something they suck at. And nobody's excited to do something that they're minimally competent at. So maybe the solution is not to incentivize it or to have consequences. Maybe when what you're procrastinating on, the underlying reason is because you're really not confident that you can do that task without mistakes or failure. What are the options there? Sometimes the very best thing is to just forgive yourself for the lack of competency and make the decision to hire someone else to take that off your plate. Outsource it, delegate it, barter, but literally don't put yourself in the position of an ongoing struggle with procrastination when the underlying issue is competence. It might be so much more skillful, especially if you're a business owner, to put that task on someone else's to-do list. If that's not an option, or you, for whatever the reason, don't want to choose that option, then you need to address the underlying competency issue. Get the additional help you need to get better at the task, right? Otherwise, if you can't give it to someone else, then you need to get better at it. If you can't give it to someone else and you aren't willing to try to get better at it, you will continue to procrastinate because it's human nature. We always will procrastinate on tasks that we are not confident we can do well because we have negative associations with the task, and subconsciously, we have negative associations with what we think it means that we're not good at the task. Now, that's another thing. If you decide, and I'll get more into this in a few minutes, but if you make an agreement with yourself, if you take a pledge like the one I have, the pledge of radical self-acceptance, I pledge that no matter what, I refuse to feel bad about myself. That is a habit I've worked very hard to break, and I am not going back. So having a habit of radical self-acceptance means I can make mistakes. I can procrastinate. I can fall flat on my freaking face, and I refuse to feel guilt or shame because that is optional. Now, this is a difficult practice to really, really master, but you can do it if you make the commitment to do it. And you just literally work on forgiveness and grace with yourself every time you make a mistake. It really does add up over time. So, that means you don't have to be afraid of doing things that you might suck at, because the procrastination problem is not going to go away if there's a skill deficit, right? So there are other reasons why we procrastinate. For example, a lot of people who work for others and they do not feel respected, they do not feel well compensated, they really don't feel like they're valued in that role, whether they're a freelancer, a gig worker, a contractor, an employee, sometimes even a partner in a business. Sometimes we do not perform tasks and we call it procrastination, but what's really going on is the unacknowledged emotion of resentment. Man, I have really discovered so much about the power of resentment and what an insidious emotion it turns out to be. And usually we're not labeling it accurately. We'll talk about being frustrated. We'll talk about being annoyed. We'll talk about all kinds of other things. But when it comes down to resentment, you will often find yourself procrastinating on tasks that you resent. And you may not even be aware of it. You'll probably tell yourself, yeah, I'll get to it. I'm busy right now. I'll get to it. I'll do it later. I got too much on my plate at the minute. It's absolutely on my list. But what's really going on is you're putting it off because you resent the fact that you're expected to do it, either because you're expected to do it right now, and maybe the resentment will be a little bit less when you're allowed to determine when you do it. And this is a little bit of a subtle distinction I don't want you to miss here. Everybody who works, even those of us who don't work, right? Everybody has things in their life they need to do, are expected to do, are obligated to do that they don't want to do. Everybody. I don't think there's one human being who doesn't have to do things they don't want to do. But most of us find that when we are able to choose the way we do that task, when we do that task, how we do that task, so that we have a little bit more of a sense of independence, agency, autonomy, or control, we resent it a little bit less. So, and this is a good one for parents, right? Your kid has to clean his or her room, their room. If you allow them to do it within a range of time, instead of saying you need to clean your room right now and then stand over them and make sure they do it, you are going to have a power struggle because the child is going to resent that. Same thing with our team members or employees or contractors that work for us. It's one of the reasons why so many people prefer to work with contractors instead of employees. There are other reasons too, but a contractor has to get the work done within the time frame allocated. When they do it and how they do it is up to them. There's more freedom. There's more autonomy. People procrastinate less and they feel less resentment when they have a little more control about how and when they do things. So if you are experiencing procrastination over things that you have assigned to yourself, take a look at whether or not there isn't some underlying resentment there. And ask yourself, do I really need to do this task? And if you do, is there a way to do it? Is there a timing issue? Is there a style issue? Is there some way I can shape this task differently so that I feel less resentment? Once you tackle the resentment, you have probably handled the procrastination. Hey, it's Diane with a quick interruption to the episode because I've got a couple questions I just need to ask you. One, are you where you want to be in your business? Are you making the money you want to make, working the hours you want to work, seeing the clients that you want to see, and getting the income and impact that you went into business to get? And if the answer is no, what's holding you back? Why is there a gap between where you are and where you want to be? Do you know the answer? In my experience working with female solopreneurs, so many of them don't even really know what's standing in their way, and that is so frustrating. So I created a little quiz called What's Holding You Back? There's a link to it in the show notes. If this is you, please take the quiz, and if you do, DM me on Instagram at Coach Diane Wingert and let me know your results. Now, on the other hand, if you already know what's holding you back, if you already know what the obstacles are that are getting in your way from achieving the income and impact that you deserve and desire, then I don't want you to take the quiz. Forget about the quiz. Go directly to the other link in the show notes and book a consult with me. I may be the very coach, and this may be the year that you put all of that behind you and really have the business that you went into business to have. For everybody else, keep on listening. And if you find value in what you hear, don't forget to leave me a rating and review on Apple or wherever you're listening. Here we go, back to the show.
It's funny because at first I said I would never own my own practice. And now I own my own practice. And I would say, I'm never going to take it any more than just treating patients. Now I'm thinking about how can I start my own
institute. You know,
yeah, exactly. Even like training other therapists, having a certification with my name that I am, you know, I haven't thought of the name yet, but I'm certified in this technique or whatever the case may be. And really just helping other therapists help their patients the way I help mine.
So now I want to talk for a couple minutes about kind of the levels of procrastination, because I never think of anything as just procrastination. You've heard me in this episode refer to simple procrastination. And what I mean by simple is when there's really just one underlying cause. You're bored. It's not challenging. You're afraid of making a mistake. You feel resentment. You don't want to do it. These are more simple because there's a singular cause. But oftentimes, in the world of work, whether we are employed by others, we contract with others, we partner with others, or we are self-employed. Procrastination, I think of as kind of like the first level. Once it's more profound than procrastination, I think we move into what I refer to as resistance. And beyond resistance, there's avoidance. Procrastination tends to be like a catch-all term that others use. Well, she's just a procrastinator. She just procrastinates a lot. I would really caution you against labeling yourself or anyone else for that matter as a procrastinator, because then it becomes an issue of identity instead of behavior. I had a very well-developed procrastination habit, procrastination tendency. You might have even called it a procrastination practice because I worked on it all the time. But it wasn't until I stopped referring to myself and thinking of myself as a procrastinator that I was actually able to make progress. Why? Because identity goes much deeper than habit, than behavior, than traits. And we tend to cling to whatever our identity is, even if it was given to us by others, even if we dislike that identity. It caused me a lot of pain to think of myself as a procrastinator because I didn't realize that it was an identity and that I was actually aligning myself with it. That was very painful. Once I started thinking of it as a behavior and sometimes a trait, which I would say the difference between a behavior and a trait, behavior is more malleable, if you will. It can be more shaped. A trait is something that sort of shows up on a regular basis. Even then, you can change it. But procrastination, level one, resistance, level two, avoidance, level three, I would say when you go from procrastination to resistance, look for that resentment that I've been talking about. Resistance almost always means there is an underlying emotion that is preventing you from finding a creative solution to the procrastination. It's like we could think of it as procrastination as a behavior. Resistance is behavior plus an underlying negative emotion, right? And probably as you're listening to this, you're thinking of very specific situations where that applies. Avoidance is the highest level. It's not going to happen. And the difference between resistance and avoidance is even resistance can be worked with. You can incentivize it. You can use accountability, which is probably one of the best ways to deal with any level of procrastination or resistance. You can often find a way to incentivize it. And when you couple that with an accountability partnership, that's usually what breaks you through. Once you've reached the level of avoidance, it's so much harder to make a change because you're literally not allowing it to come into your consciousness. Procrastination, you know you're supposed to be doing something and you play a little game with yourself, like, I'll do it later. You're kind of appeasing yourself so that you don't feel guilty. I know I need to do it. I don't really feel like doing it. I'll do it later, as if you're going to want to do it later any more than you want to do it now. You won't, but we often play this game. Usually we end up doing it because we run out of time or because someone else holds us accountable. So instead of feeling guilty or ashamed that you benefit from accountability on things you're procrastinating on or resisting, why not embrace that and leverage accountability to get things done more expediently? One of the frameworks that I talk about with my coaching clients a lot is the Four Tendencies by Gretchen Rubin. 42% of people, according to this framework, are obligers. And what that simply means is they won't necessarily do something because they expect themselves to do it. They will do something because other people expect them to do it. Since this is the majority of people, there really shouldn't be any guilt or shame in it. It's normal. It's typical. So if you know that you let yourself down all day long, say you're going to do something, procrastinate, say you're going to do something, procrastinate, say you're going to do something, procrastinate. Oh, no more time. I guess I'll procrastinate some more tomorrow. But you will not let someone else down. Leverage your self-awareness that you are an obliger, that you benefit from accountability, and ask someone to hold you accountable. There doesn't have to be any guilt, shame, blame, no negativity whatsoever. With avoidance, you don't have the situation of procrastination plus negative emotion equals resistance. You're literally blocking the entire situation from your conscious mind by refusing to think about it. So we don't really have a point of entry there. If you're refusing to think about something, if you've literally pushed it out of your mind, you're not even in touch with the task or the emotion. So with flat out avoidance, we really have to raise that task or that situation or that obligation first to the level of your conscious awareness. We literally have to bring it out of the dark and into the light, out of denial and into awareness, before we can then address whatever resentment or resistance there is and make a plan to get it done. Now, I've been talking a lot about maybe it's not just procrastination. Maybe it's resistance. Maybe it's avoidance. But you know what? That doesn't even tell the whole story. There are so many other reasons why we say we're going to do something, especially if you are a solopreneur, a small business owner, a freelancer, a creative, a contractor. So many times we tell ourselves, I'm going to start a TikTok channel. I'm going to start emailing my list every week, like all the gurus tell me. I'm going to book a photo session and get some new headshots. And we're not doing it, and we're not doing it, and we're not doing it. I see this with almost 100% of my coaching clients. We talk about the things they quote unquote need to do, make a list of priorities. Sometimes they work right down the list, and sometimes they procrastinate. Sometimes they resist, and sometimes they avoid. Now, why would anyone hire an expert coach like myself and then not do the things that they say they will? Well, because sometimes it's not, quote, just procrastination. Nearly all of us are susceptible to peer pressure and to influence. In fact, we've got this term, influencer, and most of us follow people on social media. Most of us buy courses, enroll in coaching programs, masterminds, and so forth with people that we respect in the industry who we believe know more than we do. We buy into their philosophy. We buy into their mindset. We buy into their program promise. And then we just, quote unquote, just have to work our way through our to-do list of all the things that we are supposed to do. And sometimes we don't. And I've seen a lot of women I've worked with feel a lot of guilt and a lot of shame about this. But what if it's not procrastination, resistance, or avoidance? What if it's one of these things? What if it is actually your intuition telling you that you have committed to something that isn't right for you? You have had a change of mind or a change of heart. Maybe you have outgrown the idea since you agreed to do it. Maybe you're a people pleaser, an obliger. Maybe you have a hardcore default yes. Somebody told you it was a good idea. Somebody told you you should do it. Somebody pointed out everybody else in the program is doing it. And so you raised your hand and said, I'm all in, I'm doing it too. Only when it came time to actually do it, you find yourself procrastinating. Sometimes it's not just procrastination. Sometimes it's your inner wisdom recognizing you made an impulsive choice. You got talked into something. You might have even gotten coerced or bullied into something. You might have had FOMO and jumped on the bandwagon because somebody said, you need to do this. Maybe you were paying that person. And because you were paying them, you believed you had to do every single thing they said. And in that case, my friend, you are not a procrastinator. You are not even procrastinating. You are honoring your inner wisdom that this thing you said you're going to do, it just isn't right for you. But how do you know? How do you know when it's just procrastination, when it's resistance, which is procrastination plus an underlying negative emotion, when it's flat out avoidance, and when it is actually your intuition telling you this is not for you? Well, this is what I recommend to my coaching clients, and I'm going to recommend to you as well. It starts with radical self-acceptance, which means you are in the no-fail zone. You change your mind, not a problem. Change of heart, not a problem. Outgrew an idea, absolutely okay. Realized that you jumped on the bandwagon before you even knew where that bandwagon was headed, it happens. It has happened to me more than once. So starting with radical self-acceptance, then we can say, is this thing that I'm not doing, this thing that I said I would do, is it actually in alignment with my personal and business values? And if you don't know what your personal and business values are, I want you to DM me at Coach Diane Wingert on Instagram or Diane Wingert Coaching on LinkedIn and ask me to send you my values clarification exercise for business owners. Because if we're trying to do something that is not in alignment with our personal and business values, we are going to continue to procrastinate and feel crappy about it. And that is a fact. Is it in alignment with your current business goals, your stage of business, and your stage of life? If not, then not. In fact, you would be doing yourself a disservice to stop procrastinating and go all in on something, because you most certainly will end up creating something that you hate. That's what I mean by intuition. Sometimes our inner wisdom knows this thing we said we'd do, it is so not right for us. It is not right for where we are in our life, our business, our finances, in our primary relationship. It's not the right thing, or it's not the right time. We don't have the bandwidth. It takes resources that we haven't allocated for. Do you see what I mean? Sometimes it's not just procrastination. Sometimes we just need to stop, drop, and roll, meaning take a break from our to-do list, take a break from our constant productivity, go back to the basics, and just because you said you would do something, ask yourself, what is this that I'm committing to? Do I need to be the one to do it? Do I need to do it now? And does it fit with everything else I have on my plate? You know, just because you said you would doesn't mean you should. Maybe you'll do it later when it's the right time, and maybe you can just let it go, which is why it's so important to promise yourself as a baseline radical self-acceptance. If I really let myself wallow in thinking about all the things I said I would do and didn't do because I let people down, because I spent the money, because I could just go down the whole laundry list. But the bottom line is, the longer I'm in business and the longer I'm alive, the more I learn to trust myself, to trust my instincts, to trust my sense of timing. I never intentionally sabotage myself. But sometimes we cling to a commitment that we made impulsively, under pressure, or because everybody else was doing it and we didn't want to have FOMO. And when you're procrastinating on following through on something like that, it's not going to work anyway, because you're not going to love it. I have said this before, and I'm going to say it again now in conclusion for this episode. I think one of the most important things women need to learn when they have their own business is to change our relationship with failure. Most of us have been raised to fear failure, to avoid making mistakes, to do everything humanly possible to be perfect at all times. It's okay to fuck up. In fact, I think it's necessary. Because if we don't make mistakes, if we don't make bad choices, if we don't fall on our face, the failed launch, the terrible hire, the bad pricing, investing in the wrong coaching program, whatever it may be, I've done them all, by the way. If we don't go through those things and actually bounce back, we won't have the stomach for taking the risks that are necessary to keep growing in our business. So you have my permission to procrastinate, to resist, to avoid, and most importantly, recognize when it's not just procrastination. You simply don't want to do it anymore, and that's okay. Thanks for staying with me all the way to the end. Please come back next week for another amazing guest interview. That's all, Driven Woman.
You've been listening to the Driven Woman podcast with Diane Wingert. Want more straight talk and strategy each week that will take you from spinning to winning? Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast player so you won't miss a single episode. Then head on over to the Driven Woman free and private Facebook group community. See you there.